First, let me thank you for the opportunity to do this. And second, ask for your patience as I do it. So I do appreciate that. We're going to talk a little bit about happiness today. It was interesting that Ed led that song. That's good. Hopefully that helped save volume a little bit. Is that better? Hopefully. And some things in our lives going on. Let me read something here, and then I got a couple of opening comments to make. Back in Matthew chapter 5, where Daniel was at, reading, and in verse 3, the King James Version used the word blessed, which means happy. Other translations have the word happy instead of blessed. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, I want to talk a little bit about happiness and the things going on in our own lives. Today is what we celebrate, Mother's Day. And all the things goes on with that. And enjoy your mothers, because someday they'll be gone. Linda and I have had the blessed opportunity to see both of our mothers pass away. And her father's passed away too. And as you go through life, you'll see that true happiness comes from pretty simple things, you know. I'll pick on my mother for a minute. When I was little, she made homemade bread. It wasn't frozen bread you took out of the freezer either. She took it and flour and yeast and all the things and would raise it and make cinnamon rolls and all the other things. And the simple pleasures that came from that and the food that she prepared. She was a very good cook, by the way. And happiness came when that food was ready, when you're a youngster. And at other times, she would try to make homemade cottage cheese. Now, I don't know whether anybody else's mother tried that. But every once in a while, it would flop and come out like a basketball. And not a good day to be around, Mom, when that happened. And for your birthday, she would make cakes with icing on seafoam icing. And they make seafoam candy and other things. But again, once in a while, it would flop. Mom wasn't very happy when that happened. And all the things that Linda's mom done and all the other things going on. And the things that mothers do that are kind of left out and you forget about. And you stop and you think about, yeah, Mom did this or Mom did that for me. And all the things that brought happiness to my life, at least temporarily, for a short period of time, right? When you look back, it was the simple things back then that made you happy. The good old days, as Brother Don Sr. and I have talked about, and years gone by, and all the things that have happened that have brought us true happiness, whether it be your mother, your father, or whatever. Okay, so cherish your mothers. And spend time with them when you have that opportunity, because that time will be gone one of these days if you're stands. And you'll have to look back and remember all those things that happened. So happiness is what you make it. And true happiness is what we're going to talk about today. From, you know, just the simple things like I talked about. A meal that was prepared and the different things that Mom made. And my grandmother on my father's side was an excellent cook also. And that's where Mom learned part of what she learned. And not that Linda's not a good cook now. Don't think I'm saying that. But it was a little different back then. You didn't have a lot of the things that you could prepare easily, microwaves and all the other things. And it was more difficult back then. And they did more with less. And we are truly blessed today. We're sitting on the creek bank with an old wooden pole with a piece of string tied on it with a bobber. And the days gone by. And now we have to have a rod and reel that cost $150 and all the things going on with that. True happiness. And as we looked for life and the simple things that went by, and what really brought us happiness, true happiness, in our lives as we have grown, and as we've grown and matured into adults, those of us are adults, and you young people still have that to look forward to. So cherish those times that you have while you're young and the true happiness that is associated with them. And don't lose sight of that. And all the things that you got to do with your parents or you didn't get to do with your parents. And sometimes we have regrets because we didn't have very good parents. I was blessed with good ones. And as you go through your life and some of the things that happens there and all the things in your life, try to find that, as we've heard before, that happy place. And that is hard to find at times. It's difficult to find a happy place sometimes because of all the things going on in life. And the things that we look at and how we look at them. Wikipedia defines happiness as a state of mind or feeling characterized by contentment, love, satisfaction, pleasure, or joy. And that's what we all want to have. We want to have a good time. And we want things in life to be good for us. And that's not always that way, is it? Sometimes we have to deal with issues and things we don't really want to. And things could be better and are not exactly the way we want them to be. But when you look back over your life, I will say this again, whether it's your mother, your father, brother, sister, somebody in your life that was of significant importance to you, and you look at the simple things and where true happiness came from. And we need to think about that as we go through this lesson today. And it is something that we're all looking for in this life. Every one of us is looking for happiness. We don't always have it, but we're looking for it. Even our founding fathers in this country of ours, in the Constitution, put pursuit of happiness. Happiness is not an easy thing to find sometimes. And finding that happy place or that happy spot in your life is not always easy, is it? So we need to understand that. And we're all looking for a happy spot, right? We wish things were different. We'd like to figure out this, that, and the other. Why does this happen to me? Woe is me, right? And all the things that go on in our lives. It is something that we're all looking for. And in Psalms, the 146th Psalm in verse 5, I'll give you a couple of seconds to turn there, but Psalms 146 and verse 5, as we go through this, true happiness is not in the abundance of things you have or anything else. Whether it's that old wooden pole with that piece of string on it and sitting there fishing by the hours. Or today, I guess kids get the remote control and they sit there by the hours and they play with that remote control and it seems to bring them joy for a little bit anyway. That was not my generation, and it's not something that I get a whole lot out of. So if you do, that's fine. Not me. I came up in a different, in a younger, earlier generation, and we didn't have those things to be sidetracked with. In Psalms 146 and 5, it says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose help is Jehovah, his God." Now, God knows what true happiness is. We struggle with it and we try to find it. But God knows what it is. And like I said, you know, sometimes we think it's in the abundance of the things we have and all the things in our lives that are going on. And that contentment, love, satisfaction, pleasure, and joy that we're looking for is not always true happiness. And in Luke 6:45, we'll be jumping back and forth a little bit here. And Luke 6:45. You know, in Matthew 7, it talks about doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And when you find that true happiness, you know, that's the way it is. I don't know about you, but where I work, I see people always trying to get something over on somebody else or cheat somebody out of something or do something despicable or mean, and a rare opportunity you have those who are really trying to do unto others as they should. My boss and I was talking about that the other day, and how the people, the nature of people and the way that they are. And Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So, you know, it's not in things of this earth. It's not in a bottle. It's not in some kind of illegal drugs or anything else. True happiness is not. And over again, we see celebrities and others of notoriety fall for different reasons, looking for whatever they're looking for. And it becomes a big news article today, which travels in just a few minutes, it seems like, and all the heartache and the pain that goes with it. In Acts 3:19, and the problem with us as human beings, we don't always see that we are created and that we have a creator and that we were put here for a purpose. And sometimes we get all out of whack, and that's the reason why we're not happy. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need to understand that. And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and turn again," the American Standard Version says, "that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." You just have a short period of time on this earth, and then you're going to face God. And we're all looking for true happiness, aren't we? And, you know, it's really sad when Christians are not happy. I can understand people in the world not being happy at times. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a guy that was having some problems here a while back at work. And he said, "You know, I'm not a religious guy." And he said, "I just have something religious in my life once in a while." And he's the most unhappy, miserable guy, one of them that I know. Yet God is far from him. So this is something that we're all looking for, is true happiness. And as we look for that true happiness, we got to understand it's not something that may be purchased. Can't be. Okay, the priceless things I talk about are the simple things. What about you? It's not about what you have in the bank, what you don't have in the bank, that big paycheck you get, that little paycheck you get, or no paycheck you get. It's not about that. Because that's always going to be there. The stock market fell over 1,000 points in one day this last week. People are all up in arms, and the world's come to an end, and what's happening? You have Greece that's having all the problems they're having with the things that they can't pay for, and they're wondering how they're going to do it. And many other countries are afraid they're going to follow in that suit, and we are all looking for true happiness, sometimes in the wrong place. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, in Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, he said, "He who has a love for silver never has enough silver. And he who has love for wealth, enough profit. This again is to no purpose." And that's the Bible in Basic English Version. So you can see it's not in abundance of things that we have. You know, rich people, there'll always be rich people. There'll be poor people. There'll be people that have more than abundance, and there'll be people that don't have enough. But true happiness is not in the things that you have or you don't have. In Psalms 52 and verse 7, Psalms 52 and verse 7, it says, "See, this is the man who God did not make God his strength, but had faith in his goods and his property, and made himself strong in his wealth." Again, that's the Bible in Basic English Version. But very well said. You know, once a man somebody asked him about going to church. And he said, I don't need God. I got enough money to do anything I want to do. Quite a statement, isn't it? In Acts 8 and verse 20. You remember Simon the sorcerer thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And he got in all kinds of trouble for it. But it says, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So much we give for nothing, right? And in Romans 6:23, talking about the wages of sin, in Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can have all the abundance of wealth or not have it. I mean, the big thing right now is about health care. A lot of people don't have health care. And all the argument going on behind the health care and all the things going on, I don't care which side of that fence you're on, it is difficult. But the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What's the most important here? You see, is it power and prestige, or is it sitting on that creek bank with a wooden pole with a string? Ephesians, the second chapter and verse 8. It says, for the grace of God, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And we need to understand that we are saved through faith, but faith, as I've well heard it said one time, is a continuous action verb. And what that means is faith causes you to have to do something. And you will say, well, we've got people today that will say, I'm saved by faith, I don't have to do a thing. Something wrong with that statement, isn't it? Faith in itself is something that you have to do. If I have faith, I have to do something. And through the grace of God, we have had this opportunity to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live faithful unto the end. It was not purchased with anything, was it? From us. But God sent His Son here and purchased it with the very blood of His Son. So think about that. Not something that can be purchased. So if you're having trouble with money, or you have too much money, then understand that you're blessed either way. You just don't realize it. And you'll look back someday and you'll think, that was a difficult time, but I got through it. But if you have all of this wealth and this abundance of things that are out there, that are stacked up everywhere that you can't take with you, and you don't have God, you have nothing.
Amen.
And sometimes, in true happiness, correction is needed. All right? As you think about that in your life, and you might even think back to the time when you were a child, and your mother or your father had to correct you, and it wasn't too joyous at times, but they done it for a reason, didn't they? And that was to get you to, in the direction you should go in. Now, does that mean that kids always go in the direction they should? No. Does that mean I always went in the direction I should? And that is no again. And we make mistakes and we do things wrong. And we have a little problem with that happiness sometimes because of the way that we live our lives. In Job 5:17, the Bible in basic English version says, truly, that man is happy who has training from the hand of God. So do not let your heart be shut to the teaching of the ruler of all. And that's the problem. We have taken God out of the schools. We have taken God out of everything. and we have forgotten God. You're not even allowed to mention God in many of the things that our children do today and wonder why we're losing respect and reverence for God. And in Psalms 94 and 12, it says, "Blessed is the man," in the King James Version, whom thou chastenest, or correct, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. And we don't hear much about that anymore. And all the things going on, and anything religious, we're trying to take down. Things have been there for hundreds of years in this country. We're trying to take down, and we're trying to take God totally out of the picture. And we need to be very, very careful of that. Song, or Proverbs, the third proverb in verse 11. The New King James Version says, in Proverbs 3 and verse 11, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction." Now, I don't know anybody in this room that probably likes to be corrected. All right? And all the things in our lives, that's not one of the things you really look forward to, is it? Being corrected. And how you take that correction, it will make you better or bitter. You know, it's like I told a guy at work one time, they put him in what they called the pool because he didn't have a job. And he had so many months to find a job. And he about flipped out over it and made himself sick worrying about it. And I said to him, no matter what happens, as long as you have your health, you're a rich man. And we talk about that occasionally since he's found a job in the company and no longer in the pool. And you know what he said again? The same thing he said before. They put him in the pool. Well, if they put me in the pool again, it won't bother me. And we all know that that's not true. It is upsetting at times of situations in life we end up. So sometimes correction is very difficult. And we need to understand that. And it's no different with the correction from the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is trying to get us to go in a certain direction. And we're wanting to go over here or over here. And God said, no, I want you to go in this direction. And correction is not always easy. And people don't always handle it the best way, do they? But God wants what's best for you. In Hebrews 12 and verse 6. Hebrews 12. And verse 6, again reiterated what we have just read in the book of Proverbs. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, he's going to make you and mold you just like the potter with the clay. He's going to shape you into what he wants if you'll let him. And if you refuse to do that, then you're going to suffer exponentially for that. And you know, we all have to learn, sometimes the hard way, and sometimes the easy way. But we all have to learn, don't we? And just like it wasn't easy for our fathers to correct us or our mothers, it's not easy for God, I don't think. But He knows what's best for us and what direction we should be going in. And we don't always see that. And we clutter our mind with so many other things that are not important and insignificant that we don't see where God wants us to go. And we need to understand that. And another thing that true happiness is going to require is it will require endurance. And endurance is a hard thing to keep up sometimes. We get down. I saw a friend that I worked with the other day that had 2 stents put in his heart. And I said, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing great now. And I said, how you feel? He said, I'm ready to go now. And that's just the kind of person he is. He's real upbeat, real intense. And he said, how are you feeling before? And he said, I didn't know I was feeling so bad. He said, I was dragging down. I didn't even notice it. And that's the way Christians are. or even non-Christians. In your life, you get so weighted down with things that it makes it hard to do that, doesn't it? It's like, spiritually speaking, God puts a couple stints in there and we're up and ready to go, right? And that's the problem. We don't always do that. 1 Peter 3:14. In 1 Peter 3:14, talking about endurance and the things keeping on, keeping on. It says, "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled," King James Version says. Now you imagine in the first century, and they said they were happy. They were fed to lions, they were cut asunder by the gladiators, made sport in the arenas, and all kinds of torturous, mean things to them. And Apostle Peter penned these words, "Happy are ye if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake." Okay. In Matthew 24:13. Matthew 24:13, the King James Version says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So now if you're one of those people that's kind of in between and your life is needing those stints, spiritually speaking, put in there, then you need to think about that and the things that are going on. In Mark 13:13, the next book over, Mark 13:13, it says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." I can't imagine what the first century Christians went through into the second century. And yet they grew in leaps and bounds, and we struggle with obeying the gospel today because of whatever is in our life is cluttering it up. In Matthew 24:9, again it's speaking of endurance, it's going to require endurance. Matthew 24:9. And it says, "Then shall they deliver you unto tribulation, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." How were the first century Christians happy? And they went through such things to have to endure. And Christians today, many of them don't endure hardly anything, and they're the sourest people on the planet. I don't understand it. So if you think your life is so bad and all the things in it's going awry, think about the first century Christian sometime. Well, you might say, "Well, Brother Hill, you don't understand what I got to deal with and all the things I got to put up with." I can tell you, I've not seen a Christian in this area killed for many years for believing in God. Not that it might not come back sometime. But not now. And true happiness, believe it or not, sometimes it takes medicine. I put this point on here for a reason. And in life, you got to learn sometimes that mental illness is not an easy thing to deal with. And you look around and you see other people, and sometimes we're judgmental, aren't we? And we don't understand. And we think, well, so-and-so, we hear so-and-so being on medicine for this, that, or the other. And a lot of times we're ashamed to tell somebody we're on medicine because we're having some kind of a mental difficulty. And it does take medicine at times to make those things happy. They have found that the link between neurons in your brain, there's things missing in there, and they can bridge that gap with medicine and make people complete that. So, to live that fairly normal life, I guess, or a normal life. So we that maybe don't take that medicine or don't have to take medicine, need to be a little more sympathetic with those who do and understand that. And there is no shame in having to take medicine to correct a problem. As you can see, we discussed a lot of things about true happiness. It's something that we're all looking for, not something that may be purchased. Sometimes correction is needed to be happy, believe it or not. It will require endurance, and sometimes it will take medicine to bridge that gap that you're dealing with in life. What about you, personally, just yourself? And you need to think about things in life and what makes you happy and what doesn't make you happy. And you might have all you can handle carrying around in your life and your personal life and all the things going on, and you think there's no way in this world that I'm ever going to get through it. But to understand, God will not attempt you above that which you're able to stand. You just sometimes don't think so. Do you have true happiness in your life? Are you even looking for true happiness? Are you looking for something else? Fame, notoriety? You know, I was on the radio a few weeks ago. I was traveling around. I was talking about Elvis Presley. It was interesting that the guy talking about true happiness was one of his close friends that went around with Elvis Presley and his notoriety and fame. He said, you know, one thing people have to realize about people like that when they're in that kind of a situation, they can't go to a movie and sit down and watch a movie. They can't go to a restaurant and sit down and eat a meal without being hounded for who they are. He said, if you wanted to go to a movie, you go rent the whole movie theater and nobody else is there but you and your close friends. And I thought that was interesting. Because people, a lot of times in my generation growing up, thought Elvis Presley was really something. And he was waning towards my growing up, but they thought that he was something, and he had everything. You look at Marilyn Monroe, you look at the President of the United States, and all the things going on. You look at the presidents that have been in office and got out, that didn't have gray hair when they started in, and now they're gray-headed. Is that the kind of life you want? Somebody has to do that job, and I'm very thankful to God that they do. But there has a lot of pressure. And there's a true happiness is not in some things that we think they are. And the last question is, will the way that you're living get you to heaven? True happiness is a hard thing to find. And it's very difficult to find that in your life, in my life, and anybody else's life. You need to find that happy place in your own life. And if you're fighting with God over that happy place, then you need to do some serious soul searching. Do some serious soul searching. So if you're with us and you're not a Christian, we afford you the opportunity to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to wash away your sins. Rise out of that water to walk in newness of life. And if you're with us and you have fallen away and you're not living the way that you know that you should, then you need to make that right. Whether it's not today or tomorrow, but you need to be thinking about what's going on in your life. Because one of these days you'll look back and you'll be gone, and your kids and your grandkids will be saying, having memories of you. Don't wait till it's too late to do what you know is right. We're going to stand and sing number 305. Is that right? Okay. Thank you. Number 305.